Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
All the friends back together again. I'm on a fast day. I ate an egg.
That's the only egg you ate today was just that one egg, huh?
The only thing I've eaten is one hard-boiled egg today.
You know, I can't decide, but it might be more momentous to say that 30 years ago, an egg was created and turned into a human being named Russ Frushton.
Are you bragging about your own birthday?
You're 30 goddamn years old.
Is today your 30th birthday?
Today is my 30th birthday.
Can I ask you a question? A Boolean?
Yes.
Is it a dirty 30 or is it a flirty 30? So far, I know it's only been going on
Yeah, I don't want to like marry myself to either dirty or flirty. I mean,
it's a nerdy 30. We're going to talk about Pokemon.
That wasn't one of the options.
I did not see that in Sex and the City. No way is that an option.
Answer the fucking question, Russ. Don't dodge it.
I'll go with flirty. Flirty.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh. Yeah, that's right. I knew you.
With a little bit of dirty in there.
The moment I said, it's got to be effective.
A little bit.
Man, I scoped you out. I knew the shape of you when I first saw you.
Yep. I had some fried chicken last night. And, it was only up from there, so. Good times.
No, God, 30's the worst. Justin McElroy, and I know the best Pokemon of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy. My Pokemon can be everybody else's Pokemon in the whole world because I'm the master of Pokemon.
My name is Chris Plant, and my Pokemon's name is Catfish.
My name is Russ Frustick, and I Snorlax.
This is the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in pop culture, news, movies, newbies, nudies.
And Nuvia.
Nuvia.
Nuva rings.
Monsters. Oh. Candles. Halloween. Jack-o'-lanterns. Monster Squad remakes. Everything. But today we're going to talk about Pokemon.
Yep.
X and Y. Although I have Pokemon X.
Yeah, I got X as well.
For me. Plant?
Odd man out.
I got Y. Guys, I didn't realize this. Did they release a Pocket Monsters game in the month of Halloween because they're monsters?
That's possible.
Yeah, there's some spooky. Sense.
It could be also they could. God, just need money, please.
They need it. Please just give us some money. Let's start diving into our incredibly esoteric topics that we're all talking about today.
Can we talk a little bit in general?
I was going to say we should suggest to the readers that before listening to the show. If you could spend about 30 to 40 hours reading Wikipedia entries, I'd recommend Cerebi.net to...
Cerebi is my jam, too.
Yeah, educate yourself. Otherwise, none of this is going to make any sense.
You could read my review and the video review and the tips guide that I put up. Or you could go through all that hard work that Russ just suggested.
Yeah,
hey, guys, to start it off, to kick it off, put the ball in the air, can I recommend that Frushtick, instead of whatever, dumb thing he was going to talk about, talks about how he's already gaming the entire thing with his ghastly,
That's what I was going to talk about.
Breed. Oh, my gosh. Tell everyone about this.
It feels disgusting. A little niche to me. Why don't we start with something a little beginner, and then we'll move our way up.
It sets the tone.
Does it?
Yes, because it's so
Yeah, let's
weird.
Do it. I'm excited.
Okay, fine. So, my best thing of the week is... the best way to force breed Pokemon to ensure that you've created a master race of Pokemon catching Pokemon.
Oh my God! What?
So here's the deal.
Force breed is so gross.
It's not a great term.
It's really sick what you do.
You put two baby Pokemon in the daycare center and you come back 2 hours later and they have an egg. What do you think?
They don't have to be baby Pokemon.
Yeah.
But I'm
confused. I have not encountered breeding.
That comes about a third of the way into the gyms, I would say. So you could basically, you basically just stick two Pokemon in the daycare center. You run around for a little while, and then you come back later, and there's an egg.
Now they won't,
you.
They will not always fuck. I've been trying to get my Delphox to fuck anything because I managed to get a female of the Fennekin, the fire starter. Yeah. Been trying to get that fool to fuck with anything to produce a new Fennekin.
Very picky. And it's
very picky, very picky. A lot of Pokemon will just fuck with Ditto because Ditto will fuck with anything. Nasty ass little blob. That motherfucker doesn't have a gender, so you
can
just...
Form, but he can form an orifice at will, which is
any
great.
Any female Pokemon, most female Pokemon will just fuck with Ditto. They will just squat right down on him. And then, you know, a few thousand steps later, you come back to the daycare center, and then there's an egg, and Ditto's over in the corner just, like, smoking a cigarette in bed, like, come on back, baby. Who you gonna bring in next, Griffin?
Ditto,
who's my next conquest?
Ditto's all about the negging. Ditto just like any Pokemon.
Ditto throws down a few negs, and then he's in there like swimwear. And then he's got an egg on his hand.
Guys,
it's all negs and eggs for Ditto.
I don't know what your experience was as a child, but this is not how daycare centers work, right?
No, not at all.
Okay. That part's like weird, but it's
weird, but that's something
disgusting.
That people. Okay, so here's the deal. So you can train certain Pokemon to get abilities that ordinarily you would never be able to get with that Pokemon from leveling up or using those TM things.
Yeah.
Depending on the father that you use.
Exactly.
So certain fathers will have these abilities that you can then trade over to a baby Pokemon. So what I wanted to do is make a ultra Pokemon catching force wherein I'd have on a single Pokemon, I'd have Hypnosis, which puts them to sleep. I'd have
Definitely.
False swipe. Which
false swipe, gotta have false swipe.
Brings them down to one hit point. And I'd have Mean Look, which forces the Pokemon to not be able to escape. So in order to do this, in order to get all these abilities on a single Pokemon, I had to get Chow, one of our project managers, to make baby Ghastlies, and then take one of the baby Ghastlies and made it with a baby Ralts. And then
absolutely 100% an HR violation, like no question.
It gets worse.
It gets so
worse.
Much worse.
And then I had to throw out any female baby Ralts that came out because the females will not evolve into Gallade, who will eventually learn the abilities that I needed to learn.
Oh my god.
I believe there's parental mating too. Is that?
Oh yeah,
you got.
There might also be grandparents having sex with grandkids.
Not only tampered with fucking like eugenics, you fucking got in there and did forced incest eugenics in order to get your one master catching Pokemon.
Yeah,
like I admire that, and don't get me wrong, I definitely want you to breed that master catching Pokemon and float me the clone. But Jesus Christ, Russ.
If you're not going to do it, you got to go all the way.
Let's rewind the tapes. Twin, he didn't want to talk about this because it was too niche. Niche is not the word for this. This is like morbid, creepy, playing God nonsense. Like, it doesn't matter what
the game
is.
The trick is to not look at them as living beings. You just look at them as stats, really.
So we're going to talk about Pokemon today in less creepy context than we have just done.
Good luck.
Overall, I've been playing for, I don't know, maybe like 4 hours. I'm not very deep into it. There's still a lot to figure out, and it does not do as much as you would think to help you learn the ropes, as it were.
But like those ropes are so... there are some big changes in Pokemon X and Y, but those ropes haven't fucking changed since 1999. They're very similar ropes.
Well, okay, for instance, there's this whole training thing, training my Pokemon. I don't know if I need to train my Pokemon.
Oh,
read
I don't do any
my
of that
motherfucking
stuff.
Guide, Justin McElroy. I specifically said you don't have to do that.
Yeah, I don't do any of that stuff.
But
it,
no, you know what you need to do? Can I talk about my thing? Because
no,
this is
no,
a perfect
Justin,
segue.
Justin was going.
I didn't know it was just being sad about Pokemon.
Justin.
No, I'm enjoying it a lot. I tell you the feature that I believe is new in Pokemon X and Y that has really enhanced my enjoyment of Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
My classic problem and the thing that always like sort of paralyzes me when I'm playing these games is that I never know if I'm leveling the right Pokemon. I'm always worried about trying to keep my team balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make sure that like I don't end up with somebody who's too powerful or end up with like a bunch of lame ducks. I'm worried that like about adding someone new because it's going to take forever.
By lame ducks, do you mean Psyducks?
Yes, basically. Okay. And worried about adding new people to the team, that sort of stuff. And there is a tool that you get that about, I don't know, maybe like 3 hours into the game.
It's after the first gym.
Right at the first gym. It lets you share experience, and it doesn't take away experience. What it does is it just gives the Pokemon that you didn't use in a certain battle half of the experience from the battle, which is like huge for me because I can, not only does it make battling way more productive because it's going to help everybody, but it helps to keep the Pokemon that I'm maybe not using as much in a place where they can still hang.
Yeah.
It's the system is that is a huge, huge part of, they did fix that problem. That's not just a Pokemon problem, by the way. That is a role playing game problem. Like, well, any sure. Final Fantasy game, when you have this team of, you know, three or four people that you prefer, there's always this like nagging guilt of, if I swap these guys out, the other people are so weak at this point, I have to stick with these guys. And Pokemon X and Y does a really great job with that experience share of letting you introduce more Pokemon to your team without having them fall too far behind. It also entices you to catch new Pokemon because now you gain experience when you catch Pokemon, which is also a new change. So like you are incentivized to catch Pokemon as well as to keep your team fairly fluid.
Yeah, there's also a weird thing. I don't remember this being the case in previous games, but it seems like any Pokemon you bring into a battle will get full experience. It used to be that they divided it.
No.
Is that wrong?
It's 100% for the players who fight, and then a 50% share for everybody else.
Yeah, so
the way it used to work is the experience share was a held item. So you would have a Pokemon on your team that didn't fight that held the experience share. Then whichever players fight and the experience share holder would split the experience given by...
Without having to bring them
knock out. Right, yeah. So like if you had one guy fighting and then one guy holding the experience share, they both get 50%. Nobody else would get anything.
Got it.
I think what Freshik's saying is like the Pokemon who gets thrown out at the very beginning of the match, you can withdraw right away, but that Pokemon still gets... the highest amount of XP as whichever other.
Yeah, you're actually Pokemon. Incentivized no. to bring in like every Pokemon in your team.
But that's fucking bonkers. I don't know. First of all, each time you switch in a Pokemon, they're gonna take a hit. So
yeah,
like,
that's
you're
true.
Somebody strong. You're
yeah,
gonna
but that's
kick.
Why you put Bulbasaur up there, Leech Seed right at the beginning, take them out, just start collecting that health.
Oh, you're crazy, Plant. Yeah. You're really. You know, usually you don't get into this like really nitty gritty technique stuff.
I hate this stuff usually. But usually it doesn't have a cute little Bulbasaur named Catfish. What?
His name is Catfish?
Actually, Fennekin's name is Catfish. His name's Meatball, because he looks like a big, spicy meatball.
Are you a Bulbasaur?
Oh, man.
Yeah, Bulbasaur's my boy.
Hold on, you picked two grass starters?
No, I picked Fennekin. Fennekin's not a grass starter. Fennekin's a fire starter. Oh, my
God. I gotcha.
Gosh.
Justin, so what is your past experience in Pokemon? Just so I understand.
I don't remember.
You played Red and Blue with me, definitely.
I played Red and Blue with Griffin, and okay. I think I've dabbled in some of the others, but...
I know you were down on one of the recent ones, because I saw it in your poop room, and you had your DS there, like, at the ready by your turlet, and you had a pretty...
Maybe Silver. I think I maybe, like, played 1 second of it
yeah.
and threw it away.
I definitely
I cannot deal with how handsome Professor Sycamore is, by the way.
Dude, like, that hair
looks really
that
great.
That is it. Man.
That mop top. I'll tell you.
Yeah, the experience share has helped me to enjoy this. It makes a lot less pressure. I feel like I can just sort of casually build up whatever team I want to. I'm still super intimidated by all the different types and how they interact with each other. I normally just focus on, you know, hitting people hard
yeah,
with normal attacks.
They added more types. I don't think
they added one more type.
Let me be straight with you, Griffin.
Okay.
Because I know you probably feel strongly about this. Does there really need to be a grass, a ground, and a rock type?
Like, and a steel.
Like, why does a bug do more damage to a dark type? Like, what? It's like, just have like 10 types. You needed 15? It's crazy.
I think they may have let it get out of hand. I think that once they started adding shit. Well, yeah. The original... The problem is, I mean, do you really want to get into this?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get
right. All right, so let's get right down into it. Gen 1, the types were like wicked, wicked unbalanced. Psychic type,
yeah,
I think was weak against bug, and I think, I can't remember if psychic beat ghost or if it was the other way around.
No, but psychic
was super over, ghost was, psychic was super overpowered. Dragon was super overpowered.
Yeah.
And basically, I think they've been trying to kind of fix that ever since. In Gen 2, they added Dark and Steel. Dark could beat Psychic, and Steel could stand up to some of the more heavy hitters. It also gave Fire another thing that it was strong against, because Fire was actually kind of weak in Gen 1. They've been trying to tweak the balance. That's the entire reason why they added Fairy type. Is because they specifically, like, you can look at the stuff it's strong against, which is Dragon, Dark, and I don't remember the other one, but it's Psych, things that...
Maybe.
And it's weak against Poison, which Poison, I think, only beats Grass and maybe Bug. So, like, they added Fairy in specifically to balance out these types. I kind of like the fact that there are as many types as there are, because I think it really would be... When you talk about types, people just assume that the entire game is all rock, paper, scissors, which, considering the fact that I think there's 17 different types now, and most Pokemon in this generation are dual type.
Yeah, it's the dual type stuff that melts my
really
brain.
Really throws them.
Like, I can't wrap my head around, like how much damage I'm going to take if I'm a dual type.
Like, you see an electric type come out, and you're like, I'm going to throw out my ground type. What if it's a Molga? You know, what if he's flying, too, and your ground attacks aren't going to have any effect on that bitch?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just rock paper scissors. It's like, it's rock paper scissors and then
global thermonuclear war.
And sometimes people throw paper and scissors at the same time.
Yep.
You have to figure out how to deal with that. It's crazy. Complicated, but I think it's complicated by nature, and it's one of the elements that sort of helps keep the gameplay fresh.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot, though.
There's a lot to consider, but I have enjoyed it. It is the best item in this Pokemon game. So I give it 2 thumbs up, and it has helped me to enjoy this a lot more and stop worrying so much.
Yeah. Just don't worry about it.
Just to watch Exhibit and Fat Pun, Fat Joe and Big Pun grow and evolve, and Bugs to Rhymes, to watch them all.
I can't believe you guys give nicknames to your Pokemon.
I only do my first one.
I stopped after those.
Yeah, my first one, I give nicknames. The problem with nicknames is that you don't remember what the actual Pokemon are called.
Yeah, I know.
I got a random... So I did Wonder Trade. I don't know if you guys know what Wonder Trade is.
Oh, can this be our halftime? Because I wanted to talk about the
hilarity. Yeah, okay, we're going to drop some Wonder Trade knowledge on you. So they have Wonder Trade in this game, and...
Explain what that is.
Essentially, Wonder Trade is you hop online, you put up any Pokemon that you have out of your boxes or out of your team, whatever, any Pokemon, and you will get a totally random Pokemon back. You have no idea what you're going to get. And
from another player.
From another player on the internet. So another player is also doing Wonder Trade while you're doing Wonder Trade. So I got a notification like I should try this, so I gave it a shot. And I was like, well, I don't want to waste one of my good Pokemon. So I put up... And I feel really bad about this, but I put up Zigzagoon, level 3 Raccoon.
That's
one of the
literally
shittiest,
the first Pokemon that you fucking catch.
Super shitty Pokemon.
I've still got him on my team. He needs to go, right?
He's actually, terrible. No, he's dope. Justin, keep him around.
Really?
He has an ability where he'll pick up items off the ground and give them to you.
Oh, that's
it's
crazy.
Like a little raccoon vending machine.
Anyway, I put a level 3 Zigzagoon up there and got back.
Zigzagoon, ha.
And got back a... What did I get? Like a level 25 Spritzy, which is a pure fairy type. It's one of the Y exclusive fairy types. Like a legit Pokemon.
Damn, that's a good
And
hit.
I was like, damn, I feel kind of bad. So I tried it again a little later and put up like a decent, I forget what I put up, but it was decent. And then I got, who did I get back? A Spoink. I got, I think his name, a Spoink. He's a little pig with a ball on his head. But he was Japanese. So I didn't know what his name was because the characters were all in Japanese because the Japanese guy created him or caught him initially. Or a lady, I guess. Anyway, it really is kind of this magical, like, that feeling you got when you went to the supermarket and you put money into one of those, you know, capsule machines and opened it up and you had no idea what you were going to get. Same vibe. Do Wonder Trades. If you're playing this game, Wonder Trade that shit.
It's really, really fun. I've actually gotten a ton of Pokemon that I didn't have in my Pokedex. Like, I haven't gotten anything especially strong, but I'm in the process now of trying to catch them all. I'm sitting pretty at about like 190, trying to get all those Eevee evolutions, which, Jesus Christ, takes so long. But yeah, it's like a fun way to like maybe you'll get something back, but you definitely don't need those guys anymore. So just ship them off. Ship them off to camp.
I wanted to talk, right.
Once you have caught one, then
it's in your book.
Still it counts as your Pokedex. It still counts as having caught it. Like if you evolve a Pokemon, then it still says that you have the previous evolutions. Yeah. What I wanted to talk about is people are using Wonder Trade to throw insults across the globe. I saw a post on Tiny Cartridge about somebody did a Wonder Trade and they got a Snorlax whose name was Yo Mama.
Oh, burn.
Oh, it's so great. There are people finding some truly hilarious accidental things. Like there's this new thing called Pokemon Ami where you can pet your Pokemon and rub them. But if they have human shapes like Machamp and Machoke and Jinx, it looks like you're just like rubbing their balls and stuff.
Yeah.
And they like smile and like sing as you rub their balls and touch their bathing suit areas.
Which anyway. Seems like a good segue for Chris Plant's
my thing,
topic.
It's yeah, that. Sure. It's just Pokemon and me. So here's the thing. Why do I care about these things, these number thingies, more than I care about other number thingies in role-playing games? The answer is I can feed them cupcakes. And I do. I do a lot.
You get down on that Pokemon and me, huh?
Here's what you do. You turn on football. And then you pop on Pokemon and me, and then you rub the bellies until the hearts go away and it becomes music notes, and then you feed the cupcakes, and then you do the head bopping mini game to refill your cupcakes. You only have to play it twice, and then they have enough energy to be pet again, and then you do this for like 30 minutes, back and forth, and then they love you forever. It doesn't go away. The love is permanent, and once you have a Pokemon that loves you forever, he is, one, your best friend. He'll never betray you, ever, no matter what.
It doesn't all have to be about mechanics. Is this a concern? Sometimes it's best friends.
Yeah, no, it's definitely best friends. I mean, at least one way.
Have you taken a sword into Pokemon of me? Have you taken Haunedge, the sword Pokemon, into Pokemon of me and just tickled his little chin, his little sword chin?
I want to get the keychain. How do I, can you get one of those?
The keys.
Cluck key.
Yeah,
weird. I've got one. Yeah,
give me one of those, please.
There are some of these Pokemon kind of creep me out. It's like so. There's two types that creep me out. It's one is like you're an inanimate object, but you're alive. So like the sword or the keys. The other one that creeps me out way more are the like that's a lady in a dress Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm commanding them to do like that creeps me out. Like, dude, they're animals. It's like you were putting a dog in a dress. Like, what? Why?
I have a question.
Okay. Yeah.
So I have a Pokemon named Mr. Panda. His name probably isn't Mr. Panda. I think
Panda Chan.
Right. Oh wait, no.
Think.
He's actually Professor Panda.
It's like the little graduated. Baby fighting panda, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But whenever he starts a fight, it goes, Professor Panda breaks the mold, and then he kind of flexes. Do all
abilities.
Pokemon do that? What is that?
That's an ability.
That's his ability. His ability is Mold Breaker. I will say this. I didn't do a lot of Pokemon on me when I was playing the game for review. And I kind of wish I had because it's not just a silly thing. You can get like major experience point boosts for doing it. They're also more prone to critical hits.
Yeah.
When they have high affection for you through Pokemon on me, like there's a legit reason to pet that sword of yours.
Yeah. And also they give you gifts.
Do they?
They give you little gifts.
They're like, here's a bed, and I'm like, hey, how'd you find that, Fennec?
How do you know what cupcake it's gonna like? Because I fed them a bunch of cupcakes and they got pissed every time.
No, that's because you feed them. They don't want to eat anymore. You need to take them into a game and make them.
Russ just shoving cupcakes in his dog's mouth. Why don't you like this?
Here's the trick. If you're good at the game, you get better cupcakes. So you can, like, feed them legit cupcakes, not, like, you know, that, like, Hostess crap. It's just my advice.
Are we even talking about? I'm 32 years old.
Yeah. I had to do a lot of Pokemon Ameeing to get the new Eevee evolution, because you get it by giving your Eevee a lot of love.
Yeah, Eevee, like the... Okay, so I'm getting confused. So Eevee, you're talking about the, like, fox-looking thing that turns into
which you can catch this time around, and I did 8 times.
What?
I caught 8 because there's 8 different Eevee evolutions.
One for each of the types.
No, there's 17 types.
Yeah, but like for the types they can turn into, like Vulpirion and stuff like that.
Wait! The disdain in your voice. I know. No, there's 17 types.
Well, I mean, I don't want him fucking lying on the show. Like, people are listening to this for hard facts.
That's
true. And
that's fact.
I don't want him espousing some bullshit about there only being 8 types.
Hey, what's your thing?
Mine is, I can't think of a best for it, but the multiplayer in this game is so goddamn good. It's so, so good. Nintendo has been like, and I know Nintendo didn't develop the game, they publish it, but their games have been showing, I think, more and more promise on the 3DS in terms of multiplayer. The biggest was, I remember when Mario Kart 7 came out, and it, like, blew me away. Like, it has groups, and it has, like, really solid online multiplayer. And then Animal Crossing New Leaf had these, like, internal friends lists that would show you your friends' activity, and I felt like that was a step in the right direction. But this kind of blows everything away that they've done before. So it not only have they turned trading and battling, like, just the core fundamentals, into something you can do anywhere at any time just by tapping on one of your friends in a menu instead of, like, having to fucking schlep back to the Pokemon Center and then connect with them somehow. They've made it, like, instant access to trading lobbies, battling lobbies, basically any form of interaction that you can possibly do. They have turned into a single menu. They have... To varying degrees of uselessness, they have just sort of wasted the bottom screen in different Pokemon games. The last one had this really archaic networking system that was more built around local multiplayer, which, like, good luck using that in the U.S. ever. But this one, I think it works really well. You can matchmake with random people. If you communicate with those random people, it'll save them automatically. You can also register friends directly through Pokemon X and Y instead of having to drop back to the 3DS main menu and then enter in friend codes and shit. Like, if you interact with somebody enough, it'll say, do you want to add this person as a 3DS friend? You can just say, yep. So you can do those. You can do those wonder trades that we were talking about. You can watch each other's trainer PR videos. I don't know if you guys have put much time into that.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. Explain that to me.
It's a 10-second long video that you use as literally as PR for yourself to introduce yourself and what you're all about. And you basically go second by second adjusting the camera angles and what's in the shot and special effects and sound effects and backgrounds and lighting and poses and animations and text to create, like, a fully customized 10-second long video that introduces yourself. Mine involves me drinking the milk directly out of my Miltank, which is a cow Pokemon.
So, but is it you in the video, or is it your character? Yeah.
It's not me. It's my character. What the?
It's
what
not using, like, the camera on the 3DS to film you.
No, God, no. Are you kidding me? How
I'm
long
getting
would it
the
take
image
for...
of you drinking from a cow udder?
No. Also, like, instantly, dicks. Just right away.
Yeah.
Just right away, dicks.
That's true. But that's the thing. It's like, it feels like Nintendo... Slowly but surely, each and every game that's come out this year feels a little bit closer to, like, them realizing, oh, this is how you do online, where you don't drag people through the mud to make them do stuff. Like, Animal Crossing was a little bit better, and Pokemon, like, I was surprised. Like, I did a trade at work, and I wasn't friends with the person, and the trade literally took 30 seconds in total, whereas I'm so used to, like, Pokemon games, you walk up to, like, a Link station, and it takes, like, 15 minutes. And you could, like, trade out of the boxes before you had to, like, have the Pokemon in your party to trade them. Dude, they're figuring it out.
Between that and the super training, which Justin said he was kind of overwhelmed by, it's totally optional, but it is a sort of easy way to understand. Well, not easy. It's still pretty complicated, but it's way easier than it was. The systems of Eevee and Ivy training, which... In layman's terms, are how you boost your Pokemon's maximum stats.
Yeah, so that's why I was getting confused, because you were saying Eevee earlier, but you weren't talking about Eevee.
No, so that's a different thing. But between that and the opening up of online to, you know, having friends lists and, you know, instantaneous contact with people, they've sort of democratized high-level play of Pokemon, which that community, I did a big report on them earlier this year, like, it is... like a super hardcore community of players that is very small, because the ways that the manner in which you A, get competitive Pokemon, and then B, find people to compete against are really, really hard for just a standard player. They were really hard for a player even like myself, who has played all the Pokemon games. And now they have opened up the high-level competitive play to basically anybody who wants to invest the time in it and do it. And I think that with all these online features, there's going to be a lot more retention in the post-game. Like, the peak for me was Pokemon Gold and Silver that came out while I was, I think, in eighth grade or something like that. I put probably 110 hours into that game just because I caught them all and I... you know, did a bunch of battling. I went to events while Justin worked at Toys R Us. I would go to Toys R Us events and like battle people there. Like, I got super involved in the scene, and like I can't do that really now. I can't go to Toys R Us. Like, sup thugs. But because of these online features,
I would highly recommend directing children's theater, because there's all kinds of kids in Pokemon.
Oh there. Yeah, man. You get a lot of street passes there. Raffles. That sucks. I went to Tokyo a couple weeks before I got my review copy. Man, I would have street passed so many people, got so many Pokemiles. There's also cool shit like the Safari. So there's a Safari Zone in every game, which kind of allows you to catch different Pokemon in different ways. The way it works, have any of you beaten the game yet?
No, I'm about halfway.
When you beat the game, you get access to a new city that has something called Friend Safari, where every friend you have registered to your 3DS generates a miniature little Safari Zone specific to that friend, where Pokemon of a specific type will generate. And it's not a lot of Pokemon. It's like two or three for each individual zone. But it's Pokemon that you probably won't be able to catch in the game through any other method. Also, if that friend is online and playing, then there are more Pokemon that will show up in their discrete Safari Zone. So, like, for instance, Rust, you might have a psychic type Safari Zone that I can go to.
You bet I do.
And catch your miserable illegitimate capture baby
Island of Dr. Moreau s
and then Justin might have like a bug type zone that I can go and catch, you know, these Pokemon that I wouldn't have access to otherwise. Sadly, I have already cleared out all of the Safari Zones of everyone I'm registered friends with, but I mean, that added like 60 Pokemon to my collection.
All right, Griffin, you gotta give it to me straight, because I gotta know. Are you gonna catch them all or what?
Man, I don't know. I've been going back and forth. It's I have enjoyed expanding. Like, I beat the game maybe 8 hours ago. I've just been, you know, just testing the waters, taking it one step at a time. I'll get projects. Like, let's get all the Eevees, and then I'll do that. I don't know what comes next, you know? I'm playing it by ear. I played the game arguably under the worst circumstances imaginable, which was review circumstances, because I think I had like 4 days to beat it, and I think it is a testament to how fucking good the game is that I wasn't like, screw this game forever after that. But yeah, I've been enjoying my sort of leisurely stroll through.
But when you say you're capturing them all, does that include, like, is that 700 Pokemon you need to capture?
No, Russ, it's 718.
Okay. I meant the approximation.
I mean, it's not going to be an easy process. It's not going to be easy, but you know what else?
It counts the evolutions, right?
It counts the evolutions, yeah. What's tricky is I'm going to have to do a lot of breeding. Because a lot of the Pokemon you catch in Pokemon X and Y are, like, the second or third evolution in the chain for some reason. I don't know why it's like that. So, like, in order to get the first evolution, gotta make
that baby.
Ditto's gonna be getting fucking busy.
I have a question about Pokemon to me, because we'd been talking about it earlier, and just recently I've had an interest in it for reasons I can't disclose here. How do you know what kind of cream puffs your Pokemon's gonna want to nom?
So I think I might have made a mistake. Okay.
Listen, look where we are right now. I think all of us have made our choice.
Yeah, our life choice. Which is to say, you remember earlier in the show when I was talking about how I was confused because it seemed like the Pokemon hated every single type of puff pastry that I gave them.
Yeah. Right.
It's possible, and I'm just going on a limb here, but it's possible that I was not actually feeding them the puff pastries. I was just throwing them on the floor.
Yeah, dog. Yeah, dog. Do you think that Squirtle's gonna like grab the puff pastry from your hand and hold
dude,
it up?
They're
to its
animals.
Mouth?
I don't want the like. I don't trust Ralts to eat out of my hand after the shit I put Ralts through.
Yeah.
What do you have to hold it in front of them until they eat?
Yeah, you gotta hold it. They eat it out of your stylus hand.
That Squirtle knows bite. Like I know it right? knows bite.
And I'm weak to dark type.
You're definitely, well, I think you're weak to pretty much everything.
Pretty much everything.
Do you guys like how the structure of our show has completely disintegrated into just like, here are some things about Pokemon?
Do you have a problem with that?
Can I ask understand. right now,
yeah.
Who is everyone's favorite Pokemon right now in this gen?
Okay, so I really liked Inkay. He's a little squid. Yeah. But then he evolved, and now he's like a horrible sea monster, and I hate him.
Yeah.
Sad.
Every rose has its thorns, you know?
Yeah, it's true. That's what happens when they grow up. Empty nest syndrome.
Like, I'm super into Miltank right now. Because Miltank
freaks me out. Miltank shoves udders. Those udders. They fly around like crazy.
That was Rachel, my fiance, when I was reviewing the game. Her first exposure to the game was I was in a battle with a wild Miltank. And Miltank moves its udders in a way that is not only wildly seductive, his or her udders pop out like little baby arms. Like no. They're so big.
Well, you could say baby arms. I would say it's basically four dicks just
it's
floating
four dicks.
Out there.
Okay,
let's,
yeah.
Let's
it's
be
four
straight
dicks.
Here.
Mm-hmm. And when it moves, the way it sort of just idles in battle is it just kind of bounces up and down. And those dicks just swing like four pendulums with completely separate from one another, just jiggling and wiggling whichever way they choose. And it's hypnotic.
What is seductive about this? That was the word you used to describe it first.
I don't know. Maybe I got another thing.
Hey, have I don't you, know. You got that Quacklin? Because Quacklin, that
no,
little leak he's
no,
got?
No, don't listen to Chris Plant, because when he says Quacklin...
He means Farfetch'd?
Griffin, he means Farfetch'd. He doesn't understand that it's a nickname.
Did I name him Quacklin?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking him up now. I don't think that's true. I think his name is Quacklin.
His name is fucking Farfetch'd. Chris Plant told me he come through the fucking internet.
Oh, his name is Farfetch'd. Oh, Quacklin. You crazy. Yeah, he's great. See,
this is making me miserable.
This is why I don't name my Pokemon things. I when in the original generation, one of my friends cheated and got a team of six Mewtwo's and named all of them Caterpie. And so, like, they would throw him out. Like, here comes Caterpie. Like, oh, I got this shit. Oh, no, I don't got this shit.
Is there Griffin, is there one Pokemon that's supposed to be, like, the dope one that's really hard to get, that's, like, the best, and everybody wants it, but you can't get it? Nobody can get it? It's impossible?
Mew, I guess. I still don't know how to get that guy.
I
mean, if
I wanna
you can
have the edge.
If you can crack that code, then I guess more power to you. I can't wait for that Pokemon Bank to drop, because I got shitloads of Pokemon on Pokemon Black,
okay,
White, and
but don't you
Black,
have to
White
pay
too.
Money for the Pokemon
Five
Bank?
Bucks a year, but come on. Come
that's
on.
Crazy.
It's worth it. I'm going to toss all my Pokemon up in the cloud.
And they'll die
guys,
up
this
there.
This has been fun. I've really enjoyed this.
Yeah, this has been great. I could do this all day.
I've learned so much.
Me too. All right, guys. Thank you all so much.
Who won?
Pokemon.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening. There's more stuff on Polygon.com. All Pokemon related. Natch. And keep listening to our show and be back with us next week. On Friday for the besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends like the world's best things?
Besties!